The concerns are the consistency of any time a casino has come into any neighborhood, whether it's urban, suburban, or rural, the quality of life for people has gone down. It's, you know, Americans are so pragmatic. And so why would we keep doing the same thing if we keep getting the same results? And so when we look throughout at casinos throughout our country, people will testify to the fact that the immediate neighborhood is damaged. If you go to Atlantic City, if you go a block and a half away from where the casinos are, it's real poverty. So that's going to happen over and over again. And as churches, we always stand with the poor. So we're not going to give up on helping them to get a quality of life.
You've said that a casino in Springfield would be bad news for the poor. Why is that?
Just the history of it all. Any place casinos have gone, drugs, prostitution, and guns have followed. It's especially bad in Springfield because it plays upon the poor. In a lot of ways, casinos are a tax on the poor, especially slot machines. I know slot machines are being contemplated in different parts of Western Massachusetts, and most of the people who use slot machines are people who are economically vulnerable. So it becomes, though the revenues from this might go to all kinds of good things, it becomes a tax on the poor.
What are your plans in terms of helping people to mitigate some of the negative effects that we see from casinos, particularly in the areas of problem gambling?
Well, churches will always work in collaboration with others. So it's not a case of the church doing something all on our own, but we would certainly work with social agencies and make our church buildings available for counseling, for Gamblers Anonymous, for the people who are going to be affected with family breakdowns. So we'd make that available. I think we'll also have to amp up our already substantial efforts in terms of those who are food poor. You know, here at the cathedral, we have a program here that goes 4 days a week that's about 200 people a day come to that. We might have to supply food for more people than that. And we'll also look with, try and collaborate with the wonderful universities that we have in Western Massachusetts. There's a lot of people who have done all kinds of studies about gambling and its addictions, and I'm sure that they could help us too in how to relate to people who fall into a gambling addiction.
So is this going to be a united effort by all of the faith-based community in Western Massachusetts to address these problems?
I would hope so. I think we're working together more and more on a whole lot of different issues. The Episcopal Church has got great relationships with the Lutherans, with the UCC, right across the street here with the Roman Catholic Diocese. So I would see this as a united effort.
But you don't have any specifics yet in terms of any programming that you might offer or anything like that?
I don't. I think at the moment we're still holding out hope that there's not going to be a casino in Springfield, and hopefully not a casino in all of Western Massachusetts. But if that becomes the reality and things become closer to that happening, we'll certainly start to put plans in place.
You mentioned studies about problem gambling, and one study that I looked at indicated that that when a casino opens, there is an increase in problem gambling within a 10-mile radius that affects roughly 5% of the population, but that's within the first year of the casino opening. But over time, those numbers drop in terms of the percent of the population affected by problem gambling. What does that tell you about the casinos in terms of their long-term negative impacts?
Well, I was not familiar with that study. It certainly would show that there'd be their kind of immediate impact. What I've also heard about casinos is that as revenue starts to drop, which is inevitable, and they've made these promises to the state of different revenues coming in, they then ask to expand their gambling license. So there's been a couple of instances where what that means internet gambling. And internet gambling is something that affects mostly 15 to 25-year-olds, leading them down that path. There's another study that's shown that gambling addiction among young people is actually going to become more prevalent than drug abuse within a generation.
You mentioned your hopes for perhaps blocking a casino in Springfield or elsewhere in Western Massachusetts. What are you pinning those hopes on?
Well, I'm pinning those hopes on the fact that the more people I talk to who are pretty neutral about casinos, they really didn't know much about it. I actually would have been part of that group, but before becoming Bishop of Western Massachusetts, I knew nothing about casinos nor the damage that they've that they've caused. The more I've talked to people, the more I find people being convinced that this is not a good idea. We're convinced that this is a quick fix to bring in some revenues to our city or to our state, which is not a long-term fix at all. It becomes an economic vacuum cleaner. And so I see the tide changing in terms of people's opinions. And then in the overall, right now we know we have a repeal process going on. I know that's a long road. It's a lot of obstacles to it. But Steve Abdow from my office is working on that. And there's an attempt to get on the ballot for November, people to vote on repealing the casino rules of Massachusetts.
And that's November of 2014.
Right, November of 2014.
The vote in Springfield, the casino passed by roughly 15%. How do you think that might translate in a statewide vote, up or down on casino gambling in Massachusetts? Assuming that some of that negative vote, some of that no vote in Springfield, the polling indicated, came from people who still support casino gambling, but just felt that a casino wasn't right in the city of Springfield.
Right. I wouldn't project numbers, but I would say about that vote, that 58-42 vote, although in an election of an official, that you'd consider that a landslide. That's not true in this case, because in this case, the people against the casino were outspent by 6,000-1 by MGM. So by the amount of money that they spent, the vote should have been 90-10. So I think that the 58-42 vote is actually an indication that there is not a mandate for a casino in Springfield.